This is the 365 Saturday in October podcast with your host, Dusty Good and Hawk Horton.
Hello, and thank you for joining us on another edition of 365 Saturday in October podcast. I'm your host, Dusty Good. Alongside of me, figuratively speaking, of course, is Hawk Horton, currently serving over in Djibouti, Africa. Hawk, how is Africa right now?
You know, it's pretty good. It's a nice 80 degrees, pretty much night and day. This is the winter period over here. I'm coming to you right now pretty early in the morning. I'm a little tired, so we're going to do our best to get through this.
Oh, absolutely. I don't doubt it. Of course, you know, you have a lot of downtime, I'm sure, there to look up all the football information online, keep up on all the college ball. How are the games exactly? I mean, when you go to watch the games, I have the luxury of watching ESPN or watch ESPN streaming online. I mean, how is it for you there in Africa right now?
Yeah, well, you know, we're on a pretty significant time differential over here. I think it's about 8 hours from the East Coast. So, you know, luckily I have a TV in my room and a roommate who really, it doesn't bother him for me to stay up and watch these games. So,
yeah, that's amazing.
Typically, I'm up, you know, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, watching these games. But you got to do what you got to do. You can't miss the games.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. All right, well, let's go ahead and jump into some topics here. What we're going to discuss tonight on 365 Saturday in October is Butch Jones at the University of Tennessee, how he's done so far, where he's taking the program, and overall what we think about the decisions the university is making. Also, we're going to talk about the rumors that are going around right now, real big, lighting up the internet all over the place. Nick Saban possibly returning to the NFL with the Cleveland Browns. We're also going to examine the possibilities of next year's recruiting in the SEC, outside of the SEC, talk about how the coaching mix-up has really shifted things around there, and talk about what we think about next year's SEC, where we see the conference going, who the big coaches are, where the big moves are being made. So let's go ahead and jump on in. We got a lot to talk about, so little time, of course. Butch Jones at the University of Tennessee making huge moves, putting together a coaching staff right now. They went out of their way to get T. Martin, a University of Tennessee legend. Of course, as a Tennessee fan, you know he's out there coaching right now with Lane Kiffin at USC. It's got to burn your soul up. So any chance to get this guy back home is a win for our program, which, of course, as we've talked about 100 times, our program has been lacking in. Hawk is an Alabama fan. What do you think about the entire University of Tennessee coaching mix-up, what Butch Jones has done? Just kind of give me a rundown of where you're at with this.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously Butch Jones, he wasn't the university's first choice.
Right.
But a lot of people don't like to remember that Nick Saban was an Alabama's first choice. You know, I remember being a student at the university there when word came over the wire that – Rich Rodriguez, of all people, had agreed to, in principle, be the next head coach at Alabama. Thank goodness, for whatever reason, that turned out to just be a power play for him at West Virginia. And we ended up with Nick Saban, but he wasn't our first choice. And, you know, the same goes for Butch Jones at Tennessee. Is he going to be that guy to come in and resurrect the program immediately? You know, who's to say? But I think overall it was a pretty good hire. It didn't necessarily make the splash that I think a lot of Tennessee fans were hoping for.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, overall, the guy's got a much better record than Derek Dooley when they hired him. So let's give him some time. Let's see what he can do.
Now, what do you think overall of Butch Jones? I mean, I'm sure you've read the quotes, what he said at the press conference when he first came in. What do you think overall is going to be the impact? Let's talk about right now immediately at the University of Tennessee. Where do you see, and of course we're going to get to this stuff later on in the program when we talk about next year's SEC and how it's going to, the landscape is changing right now. But what do you think the immediate impact of a Butch Jones hire at the University of Tennessee is going to be?
Well, first and foremost, a lot of Vols fans don't want to hear this, but Tennessee's kind of in a deep hole. You know, they've been there ever since Lane Kiffin came in and started digging. Derek Dooley pretty much just dug it deeper. The immediate impact, I think Butch Jones will make Tennessee more competitive. I would not expect to come out and win the East next year like some people are thinking. Yeah, it's probably not going to happen. Florida and Georgia have too big a jump on you. It's going to take some time. But I do think he will bring a more of a physical style to the Vols. He will make them more competitive. I'll go out on a limb and just predict right now you're not going to lose to Kentucky next year. Vanderbilt, it's still hard to say. James Franklin's really, really bringing that program on the up and up. So,
oh, undoubtedly.
We'll see.
Yeah. In reference to Butch Jones at Tennessee, there's a lot of talk about these juniors at Tennessee, a lot of big-name juniors at Tennessee. Cordarrelle Patterson, Justin Hunter, Tyler Bray, to name the top three that everyone's talking about. Do you think this Butch Jones hire is going to have an impact on their decision to stay?
No. I think that they will stand with where they feel like they can go in the draft. If they feel, you know, they can be drafted highly, you know, they're probably going to make the jump. And you can't really blame the guys. You get one shot at the NFL. You take it when you get it. To have a new coach coming in, you know, this late in their career, I don't know if they want to stick around and risk seeing where that goes. Take their chances. You know, Justin Hunter, great wide receiver. Cordarrelle Patterson really, you know, kind of showed up and surprised a lot of people this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Whoever's speaking in their ears, whatever, you know, wherever they think, if they think they can go highly in the draft, you know, somewhere in the second round, I think they'll make the jump. I wouldn't wait around to see where this new coaching staff is going to take you.
Okay, I read an article today. Mock draft had Justin Hunter going at number 22 to the Seattle Seahawks. Obviously, Pete Carroll out with the Seahawks, doing amazing things with the Seahawks. You think that would be – you just talked about, yeah, you want to take your one shot at the NFL. You've got a lot of new talent coming in there to teach. Obviously, Derek Dooley's program wasn't as good at teaching – as many Volunteers fans would have hoped it would have been at the beginning. Justin Hunter staying with the Volunteers or not staying, I understand whether or not they're going to go or whether or not they're going to stay. What do you think the best decision for these three players specifically are? Are they different for each player, or is it good for them all to go, or is it good for them all to stay? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's up to the individual player where they think – they can go. You know, the news just came down that Alabama quarterback AJ McCarron is going to be sticking around for his senior year, and he's doing that, you know, not based off of who else is leaving or who else is staying. You know, I think it was up to him. He knew he would probably go somewhere in the third round. I think he wants to try to improve, you know, in his senior season and try to get up into that first round echelon, and I think that's for every player. You know, you want to go as high as you can. You want to set yourself up for success. So, you know, if word comes down, you know, Justin Hunter feels like he's going to slip to the second or third round, yeah, he might stick around for his senior season with Tennessee and see, you know, what he can improve on, see if he can improve his standing. You know, and I think that goes the same with every player. If for some reason Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, he feels like he's going to go highly in the first round, he's going to go. And if Justin Hunter thinks he's going to go in the third round, then he's probably going to stay. But, you know, and vice versa. It's all up to the individual player.
Okay.
I do think there's some level of egotism involved.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about football here. Of course there is. Do you think that the new standard the NFL has placed on the salary cap for rookie players coming in, do you think that's going to have a major impact on this year's draft, or are we going to see the more of the same?
I would say more of the same. It's still the NFL, salary cap or not.
So the players being drafted We've got that out of the way. Butch Jones comes in. He says he wants to put into place a very fast-paced offense at the University of Tennessee. Now, I know you're a huge Alabama fan, and I know that's something you're familiar with because of, especially considering the Auburn Tigers. Gus Malzahn, that was his huge thing, was bringing in a fast-paced offense. How do you think that's going to go over in the SEC? I mean, you saw Gus Malzahn's national championship team running that fast-paced offense. How do you think that's going to go over at the University of Tennessee, knowing the caliber of player that they have right now? Assuming that Justin Hunter, Tyler Bray, Cordarrelle Patterson stick around for their senior season, knowing that they're recruiting on a level consistent of 3-4-star players, how do you think that'll go over at the University of Tennessee? You think it's going to be a good thing, or what do you think?
Well, the fast-paced offense, you know, the more of the West Coast style or whatever you want to call it, I think there is room there for success in the SEC. Texas A&M showed that this year when they played Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, one thing you got to keep in mind, though, is to run that offense, you got to have the athletes. And one of the reasons it worked out for Auburn, you know, in 2010 was they had a guy named Cam Newton who, you know, without him, but, you know, they're probably not winning the national championship. They had, you know, people forget they had a lot of very close calls that season. They had a lot of overtime games. And that guy really elevated the team and was able to make that offense work.
Well, sure. I mean, barring the game there, the last game of the season versus Alabama, it looked like the Crimson Tide was going to absolutely destroy Auburn. And then the come-from-behind win at the end, exhilarating as it, and thrilling as it was, I'm sure it was painful for you. I'm sure you'll still have nightmares to this day. But was it the offense that won that national championship for Auburn? I'm noticing that you're saying, you know, Cam Newton was such a part of it that it was the players that you're going to get, the level of talent you can recruit. So, you know, did an offense win a national championship? Because, you know, so often it said defense wins a national championship, but was it the offense for Auburn that really did it?
No, I'm going to – defense still, you know, when it came down to it, won them that championship. You know, they in the BCS title game there that year, you know, they matched up against Oregon, who was all offense themselves. And at the, you know, their defense was much improved this year, but you know, in 2010, it wasn't much to show off. So I think Auburn's defense with Nick Fairley really ended up winning them that game. It might not have been the best defense they would ever seen in the SEC. You know, it was a little overshadowed by that fast-paced offense that they were running. But in the end, I think defense is what ended up getting it done.
Okay, so. Going on to later success for the University of Tennessee program, we talked about the immediate impact of a Butch Jones coaching change there. Where do you see Butch Jones being? I mean, obviously, Tennessee fans, we have General Nealon, who was voted as the, you know, all-time college defensive coordinator. That's who they would have. You know, of course, the Bear, obviously, you're an Alabama fan, you know. The Bear was voted the all-time greatest head coach, but General Nealon was put on as the all-time defensive coordinator by ESPN. So, you know, knowing where Tennessee fans come from, knowing that we do come from a defensive background, very much like Alabama, bringing in this offense-oriented coach, I mean, what do you think the long-term impact is on the university? Is it going to be more of the same for Tennessee as it has been the last five seasons, or is there a new normal, a return to maybe somewhat prominence? It's going to be leveling off, nothing great, but, you know, nothing bad at the same time. I mean, what do you expect in the long term?
You know, from what I can gather from Butch Jones, I think in the long term, he's going to end up being a great hire for the University of Tennessee. I don't want people to jump the gun and think that this guy is going to start bringing in championship after championship. Not every coach can do that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
and sometimes, you know, even for guys like Nick Saban, you need a little luck involved. You know, cards have to fall just the right way. I think Jones is a step up from Derek Dooley. He may not have been what everyone in Tennessee was expecting or hoping for, but I think this guy is well grounded. I think he will build a very nice foundation for Tennessee. And I expect to see them up and coming. Are you asking me, do I expect to see them in the BCS title game in 2 years? No, not in 2 years. 5 years down the road, it could be a possibility. We'll see what how he builds. We'll see how he recruits. Tennessee's got a way. They got a way to go. There's the bottom rung of the SEC, which they're dangerously have been flirting with since the Lane Kiffin and Derek Dooley days. Then there's the middle class, and then there's the guys on top, which are in a whole nother world right now. So. He's got some work to do. He's got a lot of work to do. I think he can get it done, but don't expect it overnight.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with you on almost everything you said there. My one big thing is I've always seen the victories. The smaller they are, it really does not matter. The victories are essential to any program. And right now, the victory for us was hiring a good head coach. At first I was crushed at the Butch Jones hiring. It wasn't the home run hire we all expected, and I think I kind of fall in with all the rest of the Volunteer staff or the Volunteers fans. But watching him put together a staff, I have been very excited about that. Now, what do you think about this Tennessee staff that's coming out? You got. One major person I want to bring up is Tommy Thigpen from Auburn. I know it's a big rival thing for you, but he is known for his recruiting. I just want to point that out. Maybe you could bring that up a little bit more. But what do you know about this Butch Jones staff? What do you think about the staff he's put together? And kind of just expand on that for us.
Yeah, being over here in Africa, I haven't kept up with a lot of that. But Thigpen was. He coached under Gene Chizik for all of his 4 years at Auburn.
Yeah.
And I see that he brought in – Butch Jones brought in Willie Martinez. He's had some success. It looks like overall he's putting together a decent staff.
Yeah,
unfortunately, he wasn't able to get T. Martin like he wanted to. He brought with him – his offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator from Cincinnati. So he's going to have some continuity there. As far as being able to mesh together, I don't think they'll have an extremely large problem. I think that'll go relatively easy for them. It's going to be about returning players, in my opinion. Are they going to have to learn a new scheme? They're going to have to get to know new coaches. They're going to have to, it's going to be a whole nother scenario. This isn't Derek Dooley anymore. So, a big part of it is going to be returning players meshing with their new coaching staff. There's always some sort of turnover when things like this happen. Maybe some players are set in their ways on how previous coaching staff did things. And you always see a lot of guys jump ship when this stuff happens. You see guys have personality problems with the new coaching staff, and for one reason or another they leave.
I want to bring that up. That's the one amazing thing I think about this coaching change that I've seen. It really has been a consistent around the board. People have been saying that Butch Jones just seems so excited to be there, and good energy is contagious, and that is one thing that is a positive. What you're talking about, people jumping ship because of it. I don't know. I think that this can very much be used in the benefit of Tennessee. I mean, looking at Tyler Bray being benched there in Dooley's last game against Vanderbilt, maybe a new coach coming in is exactly what he needs.
It could be. We won't really know, to be honest with you, until midway through next season. Maybe the new coaching staff is exactly what he needs. Maybe, like you touched on earlier, Dooley got some star recruits, but developmental-wise, you know, he wasn't able to deliver.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think you could say the same thing about Gene Chesnick in Auburn. I mean, always a top recruiting class, but never the record to prove it.
Absolutely. You know, getting five-star recruits is one thing, you know, great. They're a five-star recruit out of high school. They're still not – most players are still not ready, you know, for the college game without some sort of instruction. You know, you have to develop these players. And, you know, that's one thing that Nick Saban excels at. And so we'll see. We'll see if he can develop these guys, develop who he has, develop the new guys he's going to have coming in.
Okay, and I want to get back to the T. Martin thing. Now, as a Vols fan, my immediate reaction to T. Martin turning down the job was, how ungrateful. You know, this is a guy who came to Derek Dooley asking for a job, saying, I want to come back here and I want to work. Now, this is the same guy who Butch Jones goes to and pitches the job, basically. It wasn't an interview. It was a job pitch. It was, I want you to be here. And for me, my first reaction is I immediately feel a little bit hurt. You know, I understand you have Marquise Lee, who's probably the best receiver in the country, if not one of the top five, at the very least. You know, coming back, and you're going to be coaching him. You know, you don't know what this guy's salary is, obviously. USC is a private institution. They don't have to release salaries. So I don't know if that was the issue. But immediately my first reaction was, that doesn't really feel that great to me to be turned down so frequently in this coaching search. And now with a wide receivers coach who won a national championship here. Now, the more I've thought about it, the more I've gotten it into my mind that this probably is the best choice for T. Martin to stay where he is right now until Tennessee's ready to say, hey, we want you to come back and take over a higher position. What would you say to Volunteers fans about, you know, the turndown? I mean, what do you think about it all?
Well, at the end of the day, college football is a business like anything else. From what I've read, you know, the quotes and everything coming from T. Martin, you know, he said he gave Coach Kiffin his word that he was, you know, they had a mission they were trying to accomplish there, and he didn't feel comfortable leaving until he felt like that mission had been accomplished. So, you know, for Tennessee fans, don't take it personal. Maybe USC just offered him, you know, that much more money, or maybe, you know, T. Martin is being honest here, and you know, he wanted to honor his commitment to USC, which is great. You don't see a lot of that these days. You know, a majority of the guys, you know, get a larger paycheck thrown at them and they're gone. So down the road, if T. Martin ends up at Tennessee one way or another, maybe you could sleep better at night knowing, you know, this guy is going to stick around if he makes a commitment to your school. This just might not have been the right time for him. Maybe, you know, I don't know the specifics. He wanted to come in and work with Dooley at the time. But, you know, things change. And, you know, some years down the road, he could feel differently.
Absolutely. I have to absolutely agree with you on that. That's one huge thing for me is a guy, especially after experiencing the Kiffin horror that I experienced. Loyalty is obviously going to be a big thing for me as a Tennessee fan. That's why I respected so much the decision of Charlie Strong. You had to respect that. I want to chase a rabbit here for a minute, though, because you mentioned Lane Kiffin, and it's kind of something that's been stirring around in my mind. Maybe it's a hopeful delusion on the part that I am a Vols fan. Maybe not. But Lane Kiffin going in with this Trojan team that was initially ranked number one, finishing out the season at 7-5, you know, doing much worse than, you know, a lot of guys thought that he should be doing. What happens if Lane Kiffin, you know, obviously he had to let go of his father. Somebody had to be the scapegoat, as is always the excuse for Lane Kiffin. Someone had to be the scapegoat. It was his father this time, oddly enough. Family. What does that say about a man? But I digress. What happens if Lane Kiffin goes into this bowl game and loses? Is there a possibility that USC says, you know what, you're not our guy, we made a bad decision? Or do you think they honestly they stick on the track? They say you're a great recruiter. You're getting good recruits in. What do you think happens?
I don't really see Lane Kiffin being let go this year, win or lose. Obviously this team came in preseason ranked number one. Everyone and their brother on the major sporting sites, you know, had them picked to go to the BCS title game, and then they pretty much fell apart 3 or 4 games into the season. That being said, USC is – they're not the diehard college football people that we're used to here in the South. Next year, if he comes out and has a similar season like this one, then yes, I can see him being let go. But for this year, I would say he's pretty safe.
All right, and one more. Okay, on top of that, I honestly hope that I understand exactly what you're saying, and I have to agree with you on that. You know, the Pac-12 is not the SEC. I don't think that when fall comes and the leaves start to change, they have that same sense of every time they breathe in a breath of fall air, it's also breathing in college football, as everybody in the South does. Now, I also have to hope on the fact that maybe there is some sense that Lane Kiffin, you know, obviously this guy is somewhat of a flight kind of guy. I mean, he ran away from the University of Tennessee. You know, I just really honestly, somewhere deep down inside of me, I hope that USC can see this. And I honestly don't think the guy's a very good coach. I think he's a great recruiter. I think he might be a great offensive coordinator. But a great coach, I just honestly do not see that. And to me, with the talent, if Tennessee had the same talent as USC, and you put Coach Derek Dooley up, and obviously I don't feel very good about Coach Dooley, but if you put Coach Dooley up with the same talent at Tennessee as you had at USC, I think you're winning the SEC East at the very least.
That's a possibility. It's one of those what if scenarios. We'll never know exactly what could have been or what would have been.
Sure.
We'll see. I don't really think USC is going to fall to who are they playing, Georgia Tech. I don't see that happening. In the event that it does, you know, that's the end of December. USC is not going to make the move to find a new head coach, you know, that late in the year.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, especially if you consider recruiting at that point. Lane Kiffin is such an amazing recruiter. You're talking about maybe, you know, possibly losing half your recruiting class. I really don't see it either, but it's something that I dream about.
Yeah, I'm sure you and most of the Vol Nation dream about that. They want to see Kiffin burned at the stake, but it's not going to happen this year.
Okay, and one more to chase a rabbit real quick. I know we didn't talk about discussing this in the show, but what do you think about Petrino being hired at Western?
It's not really surprising to me. He's a great coach. You know, he has a style. He recruits well, and he wins games. I would have been surprised had a major school picked him up. I didn't think he had a shot at getting a job in like say the SEC or even the Big Ten or the Pac-12. That wasn't going to happen. It's still he's not far enough removed from some of the baggage and the things that he has carrying with him. I'm not surprised by Western Kentucky, and you know, what Western Kentucky knows what they're getting. They're getting a guy that'll be there for probably 2 years, and then he's gone to a better job. They know that. They're Western Kentucky. That's what they are. That's what they live with. It just wasn't that surprising.
I don't know now. They did beat Kentucky this season.
They did, yeah.
But who didn't?
I can name one.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get on to our next topic here. We don't want to spend too long chasing rabbits or talking about Tennessee. I want to go on to Saban in the NFL. I know this one has to be close to home for you. Obviously LSU fans have dealt with this, losing Saban to the Dolphins. And now the big talk, coming in, reported by the Boston Globe, that, you know, the possibility of Nick Saban going to the Cleveland Browns. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you got to, for one, we're in that period of time when it's news is kind of slow. So you're gonna say you're gonna do whatever you can to get some readership, I guess. As far as Nick Saban leaving, going back to the NFL, you know, we don't know. We don't know what's in Nick Saban's head. We don't know how he thinks. He could quite possibly be sitting somewhere right now thinking, you know, I want to give it one more go. You know, I want one more shot at the big time. You know, I want to try to win that Super Bowl. Or, you know, he could be sitting there thinking, I've pretty much achieved godlike status in Tuscaloosa.
yeah, undoubtedly.
And you know, he's quickly approaching. You know, he's building a dynasty at Alabama. He could be content with that. Who knows? If the guy was to beat Notre Dame this year, you know, he would have won his third national championship in 4 years and his fourth overall. You know, for most people, that's enough. You know, we don't know what Nick's thinking. You know, he may not be content with four. Maybe he wants to win five or six, yeah. Or maybe he wants to go back to the NFL. And we won't know. One thing I do think, if he does go back to the NFL, and you know, like a lot of places are reporting right now, he would absolutely want total control of the program. Would he actually be given that? You know, who knows? The NFL is a completely, you know, an entirely different beast than college football. So if he did go, there would have to be that X factor, that one thing that made him make the jump. I don't think it would be money. He's made enough money now that I think he's done counting.
Well, what do you think? What about the chances of Michael Lombardi coming back to be Cleveland's general manager? I mean, that's what everyone's linking it to. So he could run that same style of NFL football that the Patriots have been doing. I mean, that's the big talk right now. Do you think that would be the catalyst to making Saban jump to the NFL?
Yeah, well, you know, there's no secret that the ties there with Lombardi. But I think the main factor is going to be control. How much control is Nick Saban going to have over this program? He doesn't want to take orders from anyone. You know, at Alabama right now, he pretty much runs things how he wants to run things, and he wins just like that. You know, when he was with the Dolphins, he didn't have that control, and it obviously wasn't a pleasant experience. So it's all going to come down to, you know, how much power are you going to give me? And I do think my way. You know, or are you constantly going to be looking over my shoulder trying to tell me how to run my program? And, you know, if we don't know. Saban, he may not be interested at all in going back to the NFL, or he may be chomping at the bit. Who knows? But, you know, for Alabama fans, you just be thankful for what he's done for the program in the past several years.
Yeah, well, Tennessee fans would be more than gracious to give up a coach to the NFL after three national championships in 4 years.
Well, sure, but you know, then you're going to have to deal with Kirby Smart.
And that brings me up to my next topic. What happens to Alabama if Nick Saban does jump ship? Is it going to be Kirby Smart, or do you think Alabama goes after a big name hire?
No, if for some reason Saban decides to make that jump. This coming year, I see no reason whatsoever that Alabama does not, you know, hire Kirby Smart right away. That's pretty much the position he's being groomed for. It could be a reason he didn't accept any head coaching jobs so far this year. You know, he was offered by, well, supposedly he was offered by Auburn, Tennessee, and who knows who else. So,
well, actually, I heard from multiple inside sources that Kirby Smart was making a huge push for the University of Tennessee job, that was the job he really wanted, that he was holding out on Auburn. He really wanted the Tennessee job for the facilities, for the opportunity. He felt like he could do well there. kind of an interesting fact. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Once again, it's insider information. How much insider information turns out to be true, it's a flip of a coin. But, you know, that's something interesting to look at. If Kirby Smart doesn't take a head coaching job anywhere else, let's say that he doesn't, and does he stick around at Alabama next season?
If he doesn't take a head coaching job?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, why would he leave? If he's not taking a major job somewhere else, why would he leave?
Well, I mean, what more can you do? I mean, he's playing second fiddle to probably – it's getting close for me. It's getting about time. You know, the Bear won a lot of national championships at Alabama, but never in such a compact time frame as Nick Saban's done. So it's getting close to the time for me to say, you know what? Nick Saban is no longer the greatest coach of this era. Maybe he's the greatest coach to ever coach in college football. You know, when do you have to stop playing second fiddle to this guy and go out and run your own program? Will Muschamp did it in Florida when everyone looked at Florida this season and said, it's going to be a rebuilding season. There's a lot of flaws in the program. He's taken them with one loss. I mean, when is Kirby Smart's time to jump up and say it's time to go on?
Well, Kirby Smart has been with Nick Saban for many, many years. He was with him at LSU. You know, he followed him to Miami and then to Alabama. I think Kirby Smart, you know, I don't know the guy personally. I can't speak for him, but it looks like if he wants to be a head coach, he wants it to be at the right job. He doesn't want to take just any job, anything that comes open. Obviously, he was interviewed for a couple of SEC schools this year, and I think had Tennessee or Auburn said, okay, you're our guy, I think he probably would have taken that offer, but for whatever reason, neither school opted to make the offer. He might know something we don't about Nick Saban. Behind closed doors, you don't know the conversations they have.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
It could be that he's sticking around waiting for the Alabama job to come open or a similar job to come open first.
I know you've talked a couple of times about the possibility of the Georgia job. I mean, what do you really think? I mean, honestly, think the chances of Mark Richt being done at Georgia?
Well,
I mean, I don't see it happening for, many, many years to come. And I know that was one big job that everyone said Kirby Smart would, chomp at the bit for.
Yeah, I think I still think he would. You know, he's a Georgia alumni, that would be a dream job of his to get, and you can't really blame the guy for it. Georgia would be a great job. As far as Mark Richt goes, a couple years ago we all thought he was done. This year, now two consecutive years his team has made it to the SEC championship. The problem being for Mark Richt, and a reporter asked him this immediately following the SEC championship this year, and if you saw, he got a little heated, but the question is out there is, his teams can't win the big game. And, say what you will, Georgia, yeah, they played their hearts out in that game, but they still didn't win. They didn't win it last year.
Yeah, and moral victories aren't worth a penny.
No, so, I think the window for Mark Richt is getting smaller. They're not going to just oust him there in Athens, but I seriously think he is one subpar season away from being let go.
Do you think that's what's keeping Kirby Smart at Alabama? Do you think that's what he's waiting for?
I don't think he's necessarily waiting on that one job. I think he's just waiting on the right job. I think he would have went to Tennessee if they'd have pulled the trigger and said, we want you. Well, I think he would be there right now.
Okay, well, let's talk about the one big job opening then right now. Wisconsin is a huge job opening. Would Kirby Smart pull the trigger on a job like Wisconsin?
That's a possibility. Wisconsin would probably be a pretty good job for him. I mean, considering it would be his first head coach stop, Wisconsin would be a great opportunity. It may, you know, it, he wouldn't have to deal with the rigors of recruiting in the SEC. You know, he could kind of get his feet wet in a conference like the Big Ten, which, you know, it's not nearly as competitive as the SEC, as though many would probably want to argue with me on that.
Not here.
But I don't know. He, you know, like I said, we don't know the conversation going on behind closed doors. He could have something else in mind.
All right, then. So we talked about the Nick Saban situation. We talked about the Kirby Smart situation. Let's go on to recruiting in the SEC. Obviously, Alabama has a leg up over almost everyone in the SEC. Winning programs create winning traditions, which make players want to come to them. Alabama obviously has the leg up in that regard. Now, we have four new coaches in the SEC. That's a huge shakeup. Four new coaches is huge in a conference made up of 14 teams. I mean, that's a lot of coaching changes. What do you think the recruiting is going to look like with all these coaching changes? What changes with you know, Arkansas hiring Brett Bielema, with Auburn going with Malzahn, with Kentucky going to Stoops, with Tennessee going with Butch Jones? What is the recruiting mix-up going to look like?
Well, you're going to have your standard teams, the ones that are always going to recruit well. Like you said, Alabama's, they don't so much recruit anymore as they just select. They get who they want.
I'm sure it's more like a draft with Alabama. It's more like, if you want to come to Alabama, we have to decide you're good enough.
Right. They Florida is doing really well. You know, Auburn's having some trouble right now. They're losing a lot of recruits. There's a lot of recruits jumping ship. A lot of kind of on the fence. And I think with any coaching change, there's always going to be that certain amount of turnover. There's a couple, you know, there's some guys that may have been all in before that now aren't so sure. And these guys, a lot of these guys are real prima donnas. These highly recruited kids, you know, they want you to prove to them that you deserve their services. So whenever there's a coaching change, you know, is that in their best interest? You know, Gus Malzahn is obviously going to run that fast-paced spread offense. You know, did a lot of the guys that Dean Chizik had previously recruited, they're going to want to stick around for that. You know, and vice versa. So, yeah, a lot of the tools with the head coaching changes, it's probably going to be shaky going at first. You know, sometimes these guys will come in and stir things up and get a lot of kids excited, and like the program is moving in a new direction. And sometimes your recruiting might fall off for a year. So we'll see.
So in let's go in the pluses, minuses, and neutral column here. Breaking down a little bit of every team in the SEC. A&M, after this season, first season in the SEC, doing extraordinarily well. Obviously a plus there. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, A&M, their recruiting right now is off the charts. They're doing really well. They came in and shocked a lot of people. You know, they got the Heisman their first year in the conference. You know, most people expected them to really go the way that Missouri went, you know, and have a poor showing and just kind of get pushed around. That didn't happen. I think they impressed a lot of kids. I think they're gonna recruit really well and set themselves up for a fairly bright future.
Okay, in that same regard, do you think that this is going to lead to Texas, you know, the University of Texas, you know, me being a Tennessee fan, I get to hear this a lot from Texas fans, the real UT, as they like to say. Do you think that this is going to lead to maybe Texas playing second fiddle to A&M just because it was A&M who got to come to the SEC? Do you think that when kids are starting to consider, I mean, Texas, obviously, a rich, rich state in recruiting possibilities. Do you think that A&M has really opened the door here to possibly becoming the dominant force in recruiting in Texas?
I think they will compete relatively well with Texas. Texas is always going to be Texas. They've had a couple of down years here recently, and there's I think there's a possibility of a coaching change coming their way in the near future.
But they weren't supposed to this season. I mean, this wasn't supposed to be a down season at the University of Texas. This was supposed to be an up season, right?
Most people expected that. The year prior was disastrous for Texas, so anything better than that was, optimistic at best. But, A&M's a quality program. I think they're a great addition to the SEC. I don't think they're going to start taking over the state of Texas just because they're in the SEC and doing well. But I think they will compete at a much higher level as far as recruiting goes in that state.
Absolutely. Okay, moving easternly in the Western Conference. I would talk about Missouri, but they are in the Eastern Conference. But, okay, so be it. LSU, what do you think about this season for LSU? Obviously a lot of shakeups there, the Honey Badger not being a part of the team this season. Les Miles always seeming to play second fiddle to Nick Saban there. What is their recruiting going to look like, plus, minus, or neutral?
I think it's a plus. LSU is still – look, this year might have been a little disappointing by LSU standards. They thought they'd be competing for the BCS championship. They end up losing to Florida. Yeah. They end up losing a heartbreaker to Alabama in Baton Rouge. But all in all, I don't think recruiting is going to be hurt too badly by this. Les Miles, just got a contract extension. And it's still a great program. Kids that want to go to LSU are dying to go to LSU. And I don't expect that to change.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. I think Les Miles is a great head coach. As a player, I think guys wanna the certain type of player that Les Miles is recruiting is perfect for him. I think those are the kind of guys who want to learn under a Les Miles type guy.
Can I just throw in, I was actually really surprised that Tennessee didn't make a move for John Chavis. The guy's done an outstanding job at LSU, and I really thought there'd be a bigger push for him.
I thought there would be a bigger push for anybody but Butch Jones, but now we have a Butch Jones head coach, so we're all sitting here a little surprised. Okay, so going on now, let's talk a bit about Mississippi State. Dan Mullen, done really well with the program there. Obviously, the season took a huge downturn there and ending with a loss to Mississippi, Ole Miss. Right there, you got to wonder about where that program's going to go. What do you think, plus, minus, or neutral on that?
I'm pretty neutral with Mississippi State. For years they were right there with Kentucky and Vanderbilt as the doormat of the SEC.
Yeah.
State fans don't want to hear it, but they just haven't had a whole lot of years where they've been relevant. I don't expect that to change. Dan Mullen, he's done a lot of good things there, and I think he will continue to do good things there. Unfortunately, I don't see State competing for a Western, championship or anything higher than that anytime soon or ever, to be honest with you. To me, they fall into the same category as Kentucky on the Eastern Division. It's Kentucky's Kentucky,
Absolutely.
They bring in Mark Stoops. Okay, new head coach. Maybe he's going to get some excitement going on there. And I could say he will, recruiting-wise, be able to compete with Tennessee and Vanderbilt for a year or two tops. But once, Butch Jones gets that ship righted at Tennessee, and we all have seen what James Franklin is doing, and he's going to continue to do that at Vanderbilt. Kentucky's just going to fall off again. They're Kentucky. They're a basketball school. You're not going to get the top guys that you need to win at the level, to be at the level that you need to be at to win. They're not going to come to Kentucky. It doesn't matter how exciting of a head coach you are. And I think, that's like saying that about Kentucky. It's going to be the same for Mississippi State.
Okay, so what about Ole Miss? I mean, Hugh Freeze, you know, you've heard me talk. I love Hugh Freeze. I'm a huge fan of Hugh Freeze. He's done an amazing job with the program there at Ole Miss. What do you think? Plus, minus, or neutral? Because I'm in the huge plus category there. I feel like if I'm a player looking at Ole Miss, I feel like this is a program that has real relevance. It's been a consistent historical competitive program. And Hugh Freeze, to me, is an amazing coach who can win with whatever you give him. So if you give him great talent, I think he can start to really compete on those levels and he can build up. I mean, what do you think?
Well, first and foremost, Hugh Freeze is hands down, should be SEC Coach of the Year. What he did with that program from where they were last year is absolutely phenomenal. Especially considering that it's Ole Miss. Now, as far as, you know, you're asking me plus, minus, neutral, I'd say plus with an asterisk. I think he will be able to recruit slightly better than that program is used to. But when it comes down to it, they're still Ole Miss. I don't know. He's gonna have to prove to me that program is going to get better. He did wonders this year. We'll see what he does next year. Ole Miss just to me is perennially marginal at best. You know,
they feel like to me the Vanderbilt of you know the West.
That's fair to say. They had their ups and downs. You know. Don't forget. You know, Eli Manning came out of Ole Miss. Archie Manning came out of Ole Miss. Occasionally, they land that one big recruit, and they ride that wave. But as far as being able to do it on a year to year basis, consistently recruiting to be competitive, especially in the SEC West, you have to recruit at a very high level year after year after year. And I don't think Ole Miss is going to be able to do that.
Okay, all right, let's move on to, Alabama. I think this is a real easy one. I think, obviously, this is in the plus column. I mean, anytime you have a team that is consistently this dominant with the expectations as low as they'll ever be with the Nick Saban team, you know, I mean, the expectations were lowered this season. And people said, you know, oh, they lost so many players to the draft, and they did. Still, great coaching brings up great players, great program. Obviously, a plus in that column to me. I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, you know, like we said earlier, Alabama at this point doesn't so much recruit as they draft. They pick who they want, and you know, aside from getting these top recruits, Nick Saban is great about getting who he wants to play where he wants. You know, he'll pass off a five-star if he thinks he can get more out of a four. You know what I mean? And then he will develop them. People may not understand that he's just not getting the best of the best, putting them out on the field and winning game. He is getting who he wants at this position, and he is developing them to understand, especially on defense, a very complicated scheme. You know, things that these guys might not learn at some other school, like for instance Tennessee. Derek Dooley might get a highly ranked recruit, but he doesn't know how to develop them. And then that's one of the things that Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and all those guys at Alabama, that's one thing they do better than anybody else, is they get who they want, they put them where they want them, and then they teach them to become better. So, you know, for Alabama, it's pretty much business as usual. I don't see anything changing, and even if Saban was to make the jump to the NFL, I think Kirk Smart sliding there, and I don't expect much to drop off at all.
All right, at Auburn, Gus Malzahn comes back in to the mix. You know, obviously this is going to be a lot more – I feel like Auburn was recruiting a lot more defense than they were offense prior to Gus Malzahn. You know, I've seen Tennessee now going after a lot more of the defensive commits to Auburn, who have decommitted. So a plus or a minus for them, honestly, I'm in the case of neutral because I feel like they're going to probably recruit a lot better on the offensive side of the ball because of this. But I feel like on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to lose a lot of great guys.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I would lean towards more of a plus for Auburn. Next year, you know, it's easy for me to say they're going to be improved because it would be extremely difficult to do anything other than improve. But, you know, a lot of the guys they had this year were recruited by Gus Malzahn. They were recruited for that specific type of offense that he runs. And then, you know, Gene Chizik changed everything up, decided to run more of a pro-style offense. And these guys that were, you know, pretty much they came up through the high school ready to run this, you know, spread offense. They weren't ready for that. And that was a big part of Auburn's demise this year is, you know, you recruit one way, then when the season starts, you completely flip the script. So, you know, I'd lean more toward plus for Gus Malzahn. I think with a lot of the guys that he already has that he recruited, you know, just a year ago, will be able to come in and run his style of offense. I don't think it'd be crazy to see Auburn going 8-4 next year. I think they'll be.
I feel like that's a big jump. That's a big jump for you know, a new head coach bringing back a program. You know, I understand that it was a program being ran, you know, a year ago. You know, 1 year missed out. I feel like Tennessee going back to the 4-3 is going to be a little different and a little difficult. I don't know if it'll be very successful in the first year. It's kind of tough for me to say, but saying, you know, Auburn going 8-4, that's a pretty bold move.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and stand by that. I'll throw that out. I think Auburn will go we'll finish the season about 8-4. And as far as Tennessee, you know, watching you know, Butch Jones's defense at Cincinnati, have they come out and said they're going full 4-3? Because you know
they are. They have said that they're going to go ahead and switch back to the full 4-3.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see where that gets them. You know, that's two switches there in basically the span of one season.
Yeah. That's rough. I've already thought about that. But let's get on in the recruiting map. Now let's go to the SEC. East now that we ran down the West. You know, Missouri, plus or minus there. I mean, obviously disappointing for Missouri fans that came over doing a lot better in the Big 12. You know, and now they're coming over to the SEC and struggling a lot with that changeover. Plus or minus, neutral. I mean, where are you at on that changeover? For me, I feel like this is a real big plus. Just because of the fact that they're in the SEC now, they can recruit outside of that Big 12 range. To me, they have nowhere to go but up, especially considering they're thinking about the possibility of bringing in Jim Chaney from the University of Tennessee as their offensive coordinator. Now that their OC is left, they're talking about bringing in Chaney, and he's been nothing but gold and magic for Tennessee. So what do you think?
You know, I'm going to go with a minus, a hard minus. Missouri, not many people expected much out of them this year. We didn't expect much out of Texas A&M either. However, they obviously shocked us all. Missouri, I kind of see a head coaching change coming down the road after next season. If Gary Pinkel doesn't pull that team together, I think he's going to be out in his second year in the SEC. So I think if I can see that, I think, you know, recruits can see that. It's not something they want to walk into. There are much more stable programs out there. So I'm going to go with a minus on Missouri.
What do you think if Missouri does bring in Chaney as their offensive coordinator? I mean, Chaney's knowing that I'm a Tennessee fan, knowing that this is a guy who coached up Bray, Patterson and Hunter, to do this. Do you think that's a plus or minus for Missouri if they bring him in?
Well, you know, it could be a plus. I think the big thing they need to work on in Missouri is defense. They didn't have much of that this year. And then and discipline. When your guys start shooting their mouths off in their first season in the SEC, there's things you're going to have to learn. You know, they obviously, some things were said before the Georgia game about old man football, and of course that carried on throughout the whole season. Every time they played, we had to hear, you know, Vern Lundquist on CBS, you know, or you know, joking about old man football.
Yeah, you know what? As a Tennessee fan, that was probably the biggest disappointment. My biggest loss of the season to me was to Missouri, because that's what they talked about, was old man football. Oddly enough, I felt like Tennessee was running more a Big 12 scheme than anybody else, and yet we were the ones to get beat.
Yeah, it's not much you can say about Tennessee's defense this year. It was defenseless, pretty much. It didn't show up. There were worse teams out there. If you watched a West Virginia game, you pretty much just saw seed points.
Absolutely.
That out of the ball defense. Yeah. I don't even know if they were on the field half of those games.
All right, so what about what do you think, Vanderbilt plus or minus? Obviously, to me, this is a no-brainer, a big plus in the column. You're getting James Franklin to come back. As much as I hate the guy, anchors down. You know, you give me 6 seconds. That's as long as the average play lasts in football. The guy is a very smart leader. You know, I hate how he shoots his mouth off after every game about it, especially if he loses, about how they should have won, about how they're the better team. You know, I hate the guy, but Vanderbilt in the plus column for me. I feel like they're going to get some great recruits. They're going to get some big Tennessee recruits that, you know, the flagship institution, the Volunteers, should be getting. But Franklin's done a good job pulling them in. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually see a plus for Vanderbilt. James Franklin's done a great job there. They're probably going to land some decent recruits. I think the plus side, if you're a Tennessee fan, is if James Franklin comes in this year and Vanderbilt has another, you know, another good season, another surprising season, I think he's going to leave and go somewhere with a better job. Because, you know, at the end of the day, Vanderbilt is always going to be Vanderbilt. They may have a couple years here and there where they're better than usual, but they're never going to reach that upper echelon. So James Franklin right now is padding his stats as a head coach. And, you know, if they have another good season next year, I think he'll be out of there.
All right. What about the University of Tennessee? I mean, next season, we've already kind of covered this so far, but it kind of seems like next season we're rebuilding. I'm going to go ahead and skip over this one. We talked about this earlier in the program. Let's go on to Georgia now. Amazing running game happening in Georgia. Amazing defense happening in Georgia. Looking like a team that's being built up to compete in the SEC against any Western power. Plus or minus there for Georgia. I have to say plus on my end. I don't really think you can say neutral. What a great season for them. What a heartbreaker in the SEC championship. Big plus for me. They obviously recruit in a rich state for recruiting. To me, it's a no-brainer. Georgia gets a plus on this season.
Yeah, I would have to agree. But, you know, Georgia, they always recruit well. You know, they've recruited well under Mark Richt, you know, pretty much every year that he's been there. And Georgia's a great program in the SEC. I think they continue to recruit well. For Georgia, it's just all about getting over the hump. Can they win that big game? Can they get there? We'll see. As far as recruiting, though, yeah, I mean, they always recruit well. They'll continue to recruit well, and I don't see that changing.
Absolutely agree with you on that one. Okay, Florida, Will Muschamp. I think this one is undoubtedly the most exaggerated plus I can have on any program. A program with lowered expectations, with such high results, there is going to be nothing but greatness to come out of the recruiting cycle for Florida, and especially for Will Muschamp here. Huge victory. What do you think?
Yeah, Florida surprised a lot of people this year. I think ESPN currently has them as number one in their recruiting nation class rankings. And that's to be expected. You know, Florida is a program that a lot of recruits want to be a part of. They're in a state, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Florida turns out, not the program, but the state turns out more NFL prospects than any other state in the SEC. So, you know, that's a place a lot of kids want to go. Florida's a it's a great state. You know, it's flashy, it's appealing, and now the program is on the up and up. So yeah, it's a big plus.
All right, so moving on down the line now, we have, you know, our only program left here, which is South Carolina. Such an interesting season for South Carolina. Losing Marcus Lattimore. Now he's talking about going into the draft as a junior off a knee injury, which to me is almost absurd. But, you know, if you're going to try to, you know, swindle the money any way you can, and I hate to say that about the guy because he's such a competitive athlete, but I almost feel like this is him trying to take his one shot to make the money to go into the draft. But what do you say about South Carolina's program? Obviously, a lot of tough losses, a lot of big wins, but just a very interesting year for them. I have to say that this year is a negative for South Carolina. I feel like if you weren't coming out and immediately winning the East, especially after Georgia winning the East last year, you know, a lot of guys are going to look at Clemson and go, well, you know, maybe that's the better in-state program. Even though, you know, Clemson took the loss this year, I wonder that to myself. What do you think?
Well, South Carolina has a history of being the program that underachieves. A couple years ago, 2010, when they came out and beat Alabama, you know, pretty much shocked the world there. Turned around the next week and lost to Kentucky, you know, and that's kind of a staple of South Carolina football. I think Steve Spurrier has done great, great things there. I think he will continue to do good things there. You know, he lands some highly touted recruits, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, that kid is no joke. And, you know, I think Steve Spurrier will continue to build upon that. They're not going to land the top five recruiting classes that some of these other schools land. But, you know, Steve Spurrier, he's also another great guy at developing talent. So I'm going to lean more on the plus side for South Carolina. Yeah, they lost a couple of key games this year. They probably should not have lost, but, you know, that's just become a staple of South Carolina football.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our wrap-up segment here. Next year in the SEC, and it's something that I want to do every show here, because things are changing so rapidly in the SEC that I want to talk about what do you think, as of where we stand right now, who are the big surprises next year in the SEC? Who's making the big moves, and what do you see happening? You know, any program, any division, I mean, what do you see happening? What are your predictions this week specifically for next year's SEC?
Oh, that's a tough one. Surprises. Ole Miss will have another great season. I don't know. I guess I would consider that a surprise. if they put together more than one positive season, I would be surprised. But I think they will. I think Hugh Freeze will continue to build upon what he's done. Yeah, as far as the East goes, it's going to come down to Georgia and Florida, I believe. South Carolina will probably be competitive early in the season, as they usually are. They'll end up losing at some point, though, as they always do. So it's going to come down to Georgia and Florida. And I see Florida winning that out next year. If you had to ask me right now about the East, I'd say Florida will be representing the East in Atlanta. On the Western side, man, it's hard to count out Alabama. With that defense this year, you know, it was really young. It kind of had a lot of people concerned that they were going to go the way of the 2010 squad, which kind of, you know, there's the old saying, bend but don't break. Well, you know, in 2010 they had a tendency to bend and then break. This year, these young guys, they stuck to it. They showed some weaknesses in certain spots, but they really didn't break. They had some, you know, they had a big letdown against Texas A&M, but they, you know, with some luck on their side, they were able to pull it out. Now they're playing in the title game. And a lot of those guys are really young. Most of them are coming back. on the defensive side of the ball anyway. And then on the offensive side of the ball, freshman wide receiver Amari Cooper really stands out to me. This kid is going to be a major player in the SEC coming forward. And TJ Yeldon, you know, he was just a freshman this year. Will Eddie Lacy enter the draft, or will he come back? Personally, I see Eddie Lacy coming back.
I absolutely agree with that statement. I think that running backs are so frequently changed out in the NFL. I think that they, you know, they come and go more than any other position. They get banged up a lot. I see any player who wants to raise their stock in the draft is absolutely going to come back at the running back position. I don't see any reason for him not coming back.
Yeah, so if he comes back, A.J. McCarron's already said he's coming back. D. Milliner could throw his name in the hat to go in the draft. If for some reason he doesn't and he sticks around, you know, you're looking at losing Robert Lester and, you know, a couple of others on the defensive side of the ball. Damian Square, he'll be leaving for the draft. But overall, they're going to be losing a couple key guys on the offensive line, but the talent that they have behind them is unreal. So it's really hard for me. You know, I don't want to sound too much like a homer here, but it's really hard for me to pick against Alabama next year.
Yeah, well, understandable. I have to agree with you somewhat on that. My picks for next year, I honestly think that I think the big surprises coming out of next season has to be, I think Ole Miss is going to be getting some big wins next season. I think whether or not that's a big win against LSU or in Arkansas with a first-year head coach who won 10 games in his first season at Wisconsin. But either way it goes, I think Ole Miss is going to get some big wins. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I think they're going to continue to grow. I think another big story is I think Stoops is going to come out well and compete well in the East. You saw Kentucky give a lot of scares this season to teams like Georgia and South Carolina when they played them. I think with the right coach there, you can turn those scares into victories. And I think Stoops can honestly, even if it doesn't affect the outcome of next season, I think he can honestly do more than just scare him. I think he can get some big wins for that program. I think those are the big surprises there. Now, out of the East, I honestly see Florida just dominating. I see them, from the way they're going, from the way Will Muschamp coaches, I see them being a dominant program. Winning the East next season. And I see Alabama doing the same. They look like the better team on paper next season. They really don't look like they're losing enough to hurt them as they did last season. I mean, we were having the same conversation last season at this same point, I would say Alabama is going to be downtrodden this season, and look where they are. So, but next season, they look the exact opposite. They look like they're going to be on the up and up. So those are my predictions for next season.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I don't. Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss will put together another decent season. Kentucky, we'll see. We'll see about Kentucky.
We've had our discussions this evening. We've talked about a few things, and we've gone plenty over our time, which is going to make a lot of fun for you listening. I'm sure you want to listen as long as humanly possible. So we've given you a lot to think about and a lot to talk about. Please feel free to leave us comments on our Facebook or our Twitter account. Of course, 365 Saturday in October is on every social media site you could possibly imagine, and we're always looking for your feedback. This is why we do it. We love college football, we love your input, and we love what you have to say about it. So, wrapping up another 365 Saturday in October podcast, out of Norfolk, Virginia, I'm Dusty Good.
And I'm Hawk Horton, coming to you live from Djibouti, Africa.
So we hope you subscribe, we hope you download, and we hope you listen. Keep your eyes on our blog for more articles, and we'll see you next week. Thank you for tuning in.